Inspire Instructor Training Podcast, where the learning never stops. Welcome to the Inspire Instructor Training Podcast, and welcome to our guest host, because Diane has abandoned me, Sam Harper. So welcome, Sam.
Thanks, Phil. Good to see you.
Your second time on the Inspire Instructor Training Podcast? You have been before?
No, third, I think. Yeah, I've done a couple. I think so. Yeah, I think we've done a couple.
Yeah, definitely. I remember doing a mindfulness one a while back. So, yeah. So before we get stuck into the meaty bits of Phil's thoughts and what would normally be Diana's Dig Deeper, which is Sam's Shares this week, I just wanted to tell everyone about our upcoming workshop, which I did have on my... So our upcoming workshop, client-centered learning workshop in Walsall on Sunday the 20th of July. So it's 9 a.m. till 4:30 p.m. £120 for anyone that wants to come along. It covers pretty much everything you need to know about being a driving instructor. We cover coaching, rapport building, experimental learning, and other stuff as well. Road safety, we have a road safety section. How can you deliver that road safety in your lessons? But actually, probably the best person to tell you about it is someone who's been on that workshop, Sam. So how did you find the workshop when you came along?
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. There's lots to learn, and it was just really good to learn a bit more about some things like the GDE matrix and a few things around that. And some of the stuff, there's a lot of crossover, isn't there, with regards to the mindfulness and just the understanding what makes people tick and the whole human element. So I really enjoyed that too. So yeah, well worth it. Really, really great workshop. And you and Diana are obviously good value as well with your banter. So it's all good fun too. So
yeah, we try to make it a nice fun day, and so it's not just us standing up. And I think actually it one of the things we really value, it isn't just us standing up and talking at you for the entire day. It's very interactive. In a non-scary way, because I know some people hear interactive and freak out and then don't come on the workshop, but it's very much a non-judgmental environment. There's no role play sessions. It's all the interaction is all just kind of chatting around and throwing ideas around together, rather than, again, like I said, just us talking at you constantly. So let's move on to Phil's thoughts. So my thoughts for today, and actually this came from a lesson that I did today. I was sat in the back of a lesson, and it's advice that I quite often give to PDIs, and I call it sort of kind of learning versus doing. And I think sometimes PDIs, and some probably ADIs as well, get stuck in doing stuff, like what are we doing rather than what have we learnt. So for example, today we were doing roundabouts, and when practicing the roundabouts, it was very much about like going to do the roundabout and how did the roundabout go versus what did we learn on the way into the roundabout. So the pupil was coming into the roundabout a little bit too fast, which then sometimes caused poor decisions, and they weren't quite getting ready with the gears either. So that was discussed, but it was then, let's go do another roundabout. There was no sort of kind of, okay, so what have we learned? Why has that happened? What could we try differently next time? It was just like, go and do it. And I think sometimes we can get stuck into this sort of trap of just driving around, experiencing the road, and people will learn that way eventually. But rather than sort of having those conversations around why we do stuff, how do we do those things, how can we do them better, what's our reflection on that? So like, how have you, like what would you do differently next time? What went really well? Why did it go well? That's also really important. So again, there was another moment in this lesson where one of the roundabouts we absolutely nailed. It was just bang on, perfect approach, nice and smooth. It wasn't an easy decision, but because they were ready, it became an easier decision. And actually, those, that again, it was mentioned, which is great, but it was mentioned in a, oh, well done, you did that roundabout really well, rather than, okay, so why though? What made that roundabout go really well? Like, what did we learn from that roundabout? And I think it's that sort of kind of stuff that takes your lessons to that next level of really sort of kind of helping pupils. So yeah, I don't know if you come across that in your.
Oh, you know what? It's funny, that's really resonating because I pretty much had exactly the same thing. And I suppose that what this really points to is the whole skills before subjects, doesn't it? Because you're teaching them the skills. And I've had a really similar lesson actually today. We did roundabouts, but there's a few other things and a few things she did well, but we talked about, well, what made that good? Why did that work so well for you? So she was able to kind of join the dots, you know, as to kind of what this plus this plus this equals it going well, you know.
Exactly. And it's not always something physical. It's not always, oh, I started slowing down earlier. It could just be, actually, I was feeling more confident coming in, and that made it go well. Or I understood it better, and that made it go well. So it's like, it's not always a physical thing. It's sometimes a mental thing that
Oh,
they've changed their mindset or they're.
okay, yeah.
So I think so I suppose what we're getting at here is then it's that dig into why a little bit more, but not just why hasn't it gone well, if that is important, but also why has it gone well. And my other bit of advice for when you're having those conversations, so if you're going off now to think, oh gee, I will go and do that with my pupils tomorrow, make sure you let them know it's gone well first. Because if you pull over to like after a roundabout that's gone really well and say to a pupil, like how did that go, or what made it go like that, they will fully jump on all the negatives. They're like, oh, what did I do wrong? Oh, should I have been in first? You've got to, because they just assume that they've done something wrong because you're asking them a question. So make sure that they're clear that we're talking about a positive now. This has gone well, and I want to know why.
And I can't resist that part. I can't resist the wow, that was great. Well done. You know, I can't sort of resist that sort of the praise part. So yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think the concept in coaching is to not necessarily give that praise, because then pupils go hunting for that praise and
Yeah.
striving for it, versus approaching with that sort of more non-judgmental. And it
Yeah.
also means when you don't say well done, they hear, oh, well, that was rubbish.
Yeah.
And so it's really, I'm really careful with it, but also it's a bit grumpy to not say well done. So.
I'm just me, and if
Yeah.
I'm really pleased that they've done something, I can't contain that. I'm just like, oh wow, you know, that was, particularly if it's been a struggle and it's a breakthrough moment, you know, I'm gonna express my, you know, my
I don't
joy, my
think
happiness. Yeah.
there's anything wrong with that. Like I've like it's that it's those moments where you just want to give them a high five.
Yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
Just
Yeah.
nail it. What I think is important in those moments, though, is to which can get missed, is we analyze, like I said, we analyze the hell out of the bad stuff, but actually let's analyze this. So it's like, is that like have that celebration, jump up and down, hit the high five, and then go like, okay, but why did that go well? What can we go do? What can we go and repeat and
Yeah.
go
I
with it?
love that. I absolutely love that when they sort of really recognize the steps. I call it stepping stones. What was the stepping stones? And they can really dig down and recognize the stepping stones of their, like you said, their thoughts, their actions, their behaviors, their choices that lead to it being successful.
Yeah, that's actually just reminded me of. So I was on Kevin Tracy's Confident Drivers Diploma, and they were talking about goal setting like on a timeline rather than like via a conversation. And they said it like it was like stepping stones. So it's like your starting point on the timeline is where you are now. Your end point is your goals, and it's what are all the stepping stones that you can get there. And actually, I remember Kev got so frustrated because this was the first time they'd done that presentation in person. It had always been online, and it meant that he could actually use the stepping stones and put them out and then walk across the room like and demonstrate it. And I was like, and when he did it, to be fair, I think this sometimes shows the benefits of an in-person workshop over an online workshop, because I think if they'd just explained it to me, I'd have gone, okay, I like that concept. But because of the energy you brought to it and also the demonstration of it, I was like, you know what? I would love to do that in the car. Like, get some post-it notes, like stick them down, and then like walk it through, like get out of the car and walk through our stepping stones to achieving whatever goal we need. So making it
Yeah.
visual and real can really like the I suppose it's that the symbolism, I suppose, of taking that literally taking that step toward your goal is quite nice. Yeah. So yeah, I love that as a stepping a goal setting
Yeah.
vibe.
Yeah.
So shall we move on to my Phil's Force was quite short this week because I just wanted to kind of get that off my chest. It generally is about something that's happened on the lesson. So I feel sorry for my Monday pupils because they always get talked about on the So shall we move on and talk about Sam shares? So I think you wanted, well, I'll let you tell everyone.
Well, I mean, obviously, when I said when I agreed to come on, I then thought, oh God, why did I say that? Why did I agree to come on? What am I going to talk about? What have I got to say? I thought, well, I have been doing the job a long time. I suppose there's some value in that. Although I'm learning so much, and that's the thing. I think that's a beauty, really, with this job is where there's always room for development and growth and improvement, and I'm really loving that right now. I've got to say, I'm really enjoying it through you guys. And this kind of putting together to sort of become better, I think it's absolutely brilliant. So I just used trusty ChatGPT and said, I'm going on a podcast tonight. What sort of things could I talk about when I've been a driving instructor for this long? What sort of questions could I ponder? What sort of things could I consider? And it just came up with a few different things, which you
I
can
suppose we can ponder them together because we've both
ponder
been
them together, yeah.
for a long
And you've been doing
time.
it a long time as well, yeah. So just some different things in the past, for my experience, I suppose. Would you like me to start, Phil?
Go for it.
The first one was a lesson that I was taught by a student. So one of the profound lessons that I didn't expect, so what I've learned from a student that I really didn't expect, and this was a fair few years ago now, probably about 9 years ago, well, maybe about 9 years ago. And I remember his name, Daniel, and he was a 27-year-old Buddhist, this young lad. And he told me about a book called The Power of Now. And that was life-changing. He told me how it was life-changing for him, and he was really kind of enthusiastic about this book by Eckhart Tolle. I was doing a really long flight to New Zealand, so I listened to the audiobook. It was 7 hours. And I was so blown away by it, I listened to it again on the flight home. And that was the book that changed my life with regards to me deciding to then become a mindfulness teacher. That's pretty, and it wasn't until today I actually thought about that. And, oh my goodness, that's massive for me.
I wonder if he knows. Like, that's the.
That's exactly what I, no, he won't. He wouldn't know. He moved away, sadly. He moved away before he could take his test. I'd love to
Internet,
know. I don't think I still got his details. It was a long
no.
time ago, but I'd love to thank him, actually.
Yeah, no, yeah, I love that. So I was just thinking of my answer. Yeah, I love that. And I'm going to go read that book now.
Oh,
I
I love
might
it.
even go to New Zealand as well while I'm at
I
it.
recommend that, sure.
So I. Yeah, no, I love that. I was just trying to think of lessons I've been taught by pupils, and I couldn't think of an exact. I'm probably sure thinking exact examples, but what I do think actually that's really important, and again, I think this has come up a lot recently with me sat in the back and me delivering lessons, is not assuming that you know what they're thinking, and so that so therefore you are learning from them by coming up with the solution. So actually, to again today's lesson, there was a. The pupil was looking missed needed so when to go into the roundabout and the instructor dual controlled them and it looked dead cert that the pupil thought they had time basically because it was that sort of gap where the car was a little bit further away but it wasn't enough time and it would have been dangerous to go but I could see somebody being really like an aggressive driver would have like floored it and gone for it so it was that sort of kind of gap so we all just thought oh she clearly thought she had time was going to go for it instructor dual controlled it and that was the conversation they had and it wasn't until I sort of kind of asked like what were you thinking on the approach and like what were your thoughts on that car that it turned out she just thought it was okay to turn right and go ahead next to each other basically And I think that's the thing is like it's not a profound thing I'm learning from the pupil, but I think the thing that you learn from the pupils is that they don't think like you. And
Yes,
you've
yeah.
got to kind of
Oh,
get into those things.
it sometimes surprises me because I might ask a question, and to me, it's, it might seem obvious, and to them, it really isn't. And it, like you say, it's so int I find it fascinating how different people just join the dots in a different way, and the way that we're also wired so differently. And yeah, absolutely right. It's learning to not assume that we know what they're thinking or what they're. Assuming we think we know what where they're coming from, quite literally.
It makes me like I think more and more as I do this job, I get fascinated by the human brain.
Yeah, me
And
too.
I think it's fascinating how like we all go around assuming we're seeing the same thing. And we are like physically seeing the same thing, but we all put our own experiences and life, our entire life like experiences come into that perception of what we've just seen. So and from a roundabout point of view, like a driving instructor with lots of experience is seeing that with all of that experience, all that knowledge, all that like anticipation of what those cars are going to do. And learners are looking at that in a completely different, they're seeing a whole different picture to what we're seeing. They're not seeing those like subtleties.
It's really true. And it's funny actually because they're almost not sometimes they're not seeing anything at all. And this goes through to one of the things about breakthrough moments for me. And that's when I recognize that they've become present, they've developed an awareness. So it's almost like they're waking up. Do you know what I mean when I say that? Sometimes it's almost like they've woken up, like they're going through the motions to a certain point, and then suddenly they're engaged at a different level. And I really noticed that. Do you get that?
Absolutely. And in my head that's when their brain is going, when it's basically storing that into their like long-term memory basically instead of that short-term memory. And they're no longer having to remember it. It's there, it's stored, they own that information. We talk about the fact that it's schemas, which is almost like filing systems in your brain, and they Yeah, and it doesn't, it needs a bit of time to get filed in there. That's the thing.
I was talking to one of my people today about building new neural pathways. I said, you're actually building new pathways in your brain with this stuff, and that's why it takes a while. You can't just snap your fingers. It's you're growing this part of your brain, aren't you?
Yes, that's exhausting. Like, it must be exhausting to learn these new skills. The calories you're using, like, to learn to drive. So you had, what was your next thing you were coming up to
The
then?
other one was what I've become better at. What about, and obviously I'm a completely different animal, different beast now to what I was when I started. I started 21 years ago, which I can't really believe myself. I suppose I was quite young, really. I was in my early 30s when I started doing this. Back then, neurodiversity was just not. For me, I don't think for many people at all, really, on the radar at all. It was just a case of they just really struggle. And I don't know, there was very little understanding for me as to the reasons why some people might struggle more than others. I definitely have learned so much about neurodiversity. I definitely think I'm more patient. I've always been pretty patient, to be fair, but I think I'm more compassionate. I'd say I'm much more. I think I'm kinder to myself as well as them. So when things aren't going to plan or they're not getting something, I'm kind of okay with that, I celebrate the small wins a lot easier. It's not all just about the long-term goal. It's like you said before, the stepping stones, celebrating the stepping stones, because for some people, those small wins are pretty significant, and also much better at setting boundaries, not saying yes when I mean no. And also coaching. Through you, coaching. I mean, that wasn't a thing when I started. That
Absolutely, no.
wasn't a thing at all. I was a driving instructor and I told people what to do.
Yeah, definitely. And I think even though A lot of people say, oh, well, I was already coaching, and but I was good at asking questions, and I think I was good at working with the pupils, but it's another level now, like
Oh, yeah.
of coaching. Yeah, absolutely. And so I wasn't coaching. I was probably good at instructing rather than coaching.
I mean, I didn't even really know about coaching. It was
So,
just it's how I was taught. My training provider taught me to be a driving instructor, and there was the things that, the things we did and the things we taught them. And this whole coaching malarkey
yeah.
was a quite an interesting development, and it's definitely been a slow burn, and I've got better and better. I think I'm pretty okay with it now. Every day's a school day,
Do you find it difficult? Because I almost envy people coming into the industry and taught this from scratch rather than this having to change your ways. Like, you've built up years of habits of in the car, and having to change your ways into this coaching style.
I have to a degree, although I'm finding it easier now the more I do it. But what I'd say is, I absolutely agree with you. I think people are coming in now with a fresher mindset. My mindset is I've got the experience that tells me this works and this works and this doesn't work and this doesn't work. So I almost can be guilty of coming with a little bit of a recipe. So if it's not working for them, I want to go, oh, try this. I had a pupil that couldn't do that. You need to do this. Try this. I've got all the ideas. I've got all the tricks, but like you said before, those tricks might not be suitable, and it's allowing them, it's creating space, isn't it, them to find their own way. I mean, obviously you can point them in the right direction, but that's been quite hard for me, just to shut up, just to learn, just to let them work it out.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think it is. I actually think it's so much easier to coach something you don't know anything about, because you genuinely have to dig in and get the pupil to get them to come up with. We do on our workshop. We do a demo of coaching. And I remember a really good one with Ryan, who wanted to. He joined like an amateur professional, like amateur professional, no, an amateur wrestling association. So, like WWE style wrestling, and he wanted to obviously grow within the company and become the champion, sort of thing. Now, I quite like wrestling, but I didn't know anything about the ins and outs of doing it. And being able to coach that, it was because I didn't have any solutions. I didn't have that recipe. So it was like, what can I get out of him? And whereas I think it is hard when you're on the road going, I think I know how to fix this. And sometimes that's, you're not right. That's the issue.
That's it. I mean, I do think there is, I am grateful some of the things I can solve pretty quickly, and but there is merit in experience, I think, for me. I'm still learning so much, but the fact I've been doing it a long time, there are certain things that I just know it can be helpful, to sort of perhaps at least help them with just certain elements, little things really sometimes. But yeah, it is easy to get a bit swept up if you're not careful.
Yeah, it's like offering a choice, isn't it? Offering a choice, sort of kind of like that. I just want to touch on the neurodiversity thing you said, actually, because that kind of really like hit me when you said that it wasn't a thing when you first started, and same with me. And I don't think it was in society really either. Like in some schools, I'm sure they were aware, but it wasn't dealt with as well, I suppose. And it has definitely become more obvious in society now, which is really helpful, and within
We're
the
talking about it. Yeah,
industry.
people
No,
weren't talking about it, were they?
there was stigma to it as well, and I think that's less and less now. And I was just thinking back to some of the pupils that I've taught who were challenging, and we worked through it, and we got there, but it hadn't even crossed my mind that they were potentially neurodiverse, and that was the reason they were struggling with whatever reason, like dyslexia, ADHD, or whatever. But it hadn't crossed my mind at the time that was a thing. So I was working with them, but I think now I would be able to probably support them much better because I'd have those sort of tools to sort of kind of, yeah.
And this one thing has really helped me actually with the whole understanding people better, is recognizing maybe a bit more compassionately people don't do things wrong deliberately. You know, like you see people posting on Facebook about people being stupid and they did this and they did that, and I can't believe my, you know, people talking about other people. But the bottom line is we're all human, and we all just wanna we're just doing our best. And some people, it's just the way people are, isn't it? Some people just it comes to some people easier than others. I definitely think I'm kinder. Not that I was unkind before. Get it right. No, I didn't. I wasn't unkind, but I see it now. That's the difference. I didn't see it then. I just muddled through and did my best, and I'd be almost scratching my head like, what can I do with this person? Whereas now, I definitely feel more. I recognise it. Ah, okay. Or I might be able to have a conversation. It depends on the situation. But yeah, it's made it easier, hasn't it? Just to recognise
Yeah,
you're
I
doing
agree. I
wrong.
think it, and it's that. Yeah, empathy is probably the right word, isn't it? And working. I think the other thing is, I've always had this attitude that if a pupil's not getting it right, that's my problem. I've always thought that. Like, it doesn't matter what they're like. If we've been doing roundabouts for 100 hours and they're still not getting it right, that's for me to work out. Like, how can I help them get there? That's the way I look at it. Obviously, it's like a conversation, and they can come up with solutions, but. If I've got a people at the moment who's really struggling with just random car control, basically. So we're making progress, but they're just really struggling with the car control. And we've tried lots of things. And but I see that as me. Like, I need to find a way to help her connect all the dots and make this work for her. Whereas rather than me go, oh, she's just rubbish at clutch control, like it's fine in that sort of kind of like it should be about. How can you help them?
Yeah, I agree. But I think for me, when I first set out, when I first started out, not understanding why, you know, what, like you said earlier on, you know, seeing everybody through the same lens, treating everybody the same, expecting people A to be the same as people B. And I think in the early days, I did blame them, if I'm 100% honest. Because I couldn't understand why somebody would do something. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand, like you said before, you can't see the world through their eyes. And I didn't realize, I just didn't understand that some people's experience of the world was just going to be different to mine. So that's been a huge in life, I think, as well, as from a young woman, you know, to the person I am now, that learning has been quite something, I think.
Yeah, when you were saying about like their experience of the world is different, I think that's interesting. I saw a video on TikTok, and it was the instructor getting frustrated with a pupil for braking harshly when a car was coming from the left. So the car should have been giving way at the junction, but this pupil was like braking harshly, and the instructor got frustrated. And they did, to be fair, they pulled over, had a chat about it, and the reasoning was, although. He tried to explain it, and it was still like, no, you can't do this. And his reason was from India, and he said in India that car is pulling out, and the frust and so the instructor was frustrated with like, well, that doesn't happen here. You can't drive like that here. And I'm just like, no, you've got to have that empathy because he has built up all of these like brain pathways that's a thing that's going to happen. You can't just tell him it's not going to, and then like he gets they get it. I know that's not the thing, but in the moment you react, your sort of kind of your schemas and stuff react quicker than your consciousness, so you're already breaking before you realize, oh no, I'm in the UK, that's not going to happen, or less likely to happen, I suppose.
It's so true. And I think that relates to a lot of things. I've definitely learned a lot. This is one of my other things, is was about fear. Something I've learned about fear. And that is a big part of it, through learned experience, that often people, it's not a choice for them to go offline and zone out and laugh or laugh. You know, you hear people criticizing people for laughing. But that's a fear response. That's a nervous thing. They're not laughing because they think it's funny. You know, people do all kinds of funny behaviors, but usually there's an underlying fear behind it. And that understanding more about that, I found very helpful.
Remember actually when I was like 18, I was training to be an accountant, and I just messed up this sort of kind of set of numbers, like the digits, but it was all just completely wrong. There were several mistakes in it. I'd done it really tired, and it was the end of the day, and I was just zoned out, and I'd clearly just made loads of mistakes. And one of the managers came in and gave me like a right sort of kind of like shouting at in front of everyone on the office. And at one point, I didn't laugh like ha, that was just like that sort of thing, something they said, and blew up. But it was like a nervous laughter. I
Of
just
course,
like
yeah.
I was being shouted. I was just like, oh.
You go back to being a naughty school kid, don't
Oh
you?
yeah.
But yeah, we see that. I mean, people, yeah, it's funny, isn't it? It's, people display all sorts of behaviors when they're under stress, when they've gone into a fight, flight, freeze, or people do all sorts of quirky things. And it's understanding that they're coping. They're coping as best they can, and they're doing what they need to do to feel okay, you know? That could look like all sorts of things. It's, I
Definitely.
find it fascinating as well,
It is.
the human condition.
Think maybe empathy seems to be the theme of this, doesn't it? So just having some compassion. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
What was your next on the list? I'm trying to work it down here.
I've just put over time, I've realized that teaching is also about going beyond the technical. And we're touching on this really. I mean, yeah, you obviously the technical side of it, how to drive the car is obviously a big part of it, but huge part is their own trust in themselves, trust in you, and how they're feeling, emotional, you know, safety. And some of my biggest breakthrough moments have just been when I've seen that person just recognize that actually they start to believe that they can do it and it's possible. And once they start to think, well, actually, maybe I can do this, that can be huge because they know the technicalities. You ask them the questions, they know the answers.
Yeah, I think actually, and an example of this, I think that will resonate with a lot of instructors is I am sure a lot of people have had that pupil that's got in the car, that's give it a go attitude, super confident, not necessarily cocky, but just like wants to give everything a go, versus the pupil that gets in the car that's a bit like, oh no, I can't do roundabouts, they're too scary for me, I'm rubbish at those, that sort of pupil. And the confident pupil, in my opinion, generally learns to drive a lot quicker. They're not necessarily better, they just learn quicker because they're more likely to take on board what's happening because they're trying it and they're giving it a go, and there's not
Not held back.
holding them back and the barrier. And so actually what you're talking about there is that the other pupil who's got those barriers, when you see that wall come down and they're able to have that little bit of confidence, that's when they blossom as a driver. And so yeah, you're right, that happens all the time.
I love that. I love witnessing that. It's just those lessons where you're like, oh, we're not there, but we're nearly there now. We've turned a corner, metaphorically speaking.
Definitely. But
You
it
know,
has to
you
come
see
from
it.
them.
Oh, my goodness.
You mentioned trust there, but you mentioned trust of themselves, and I think
Yeah.
that's really important, that we can tell them until we're blue in our face that we're thinking they're doing really well, but if they don't believe it doesn't, it's not going to have that effect, and probably more importantly, it's definitely not going to have an effect when they're out on the road on their own. Like, they got to trust that they are safe drivers,
Yeah.
and it has to come from their belief of that as well. So yeah. We have a question from Chris, I think, or a comment. So Chris says, I'd like to ask about pupils which just find decisions difficult. Oh, there we go. It's linking to what we've been talking about. They like more time to think, and as an instructor, you want to encourage them to make quicker decisions when it matters. Thoughts on that?
Well, I have this a lot, and I'm sure we all do, to be honest. The way that I try to operate is I teach them to get comfortable with what they're doing to start with, in the hope that through practice and confidence, they build up the speed naturally. But I think that comes. I think it's the initial steps, like the stepping stones. They're never going to be pulling away confidently and promptly on a roundabout. The first couple of times, you know, it's a process, isn't it? I think so. It's a case of with mine, I just say to them, don't worry about keeping up with everybody else. Just do it with what feels comfortable for you. Don't even worry if you're going a bit slow. Let's just make this safe. Let's make sure that the decisions you're making are okay. And then we'll gradually, as they get more confident and they do it more, that pulling away gets easier. And then that might be a separate thing in itself altogether. I might take them somewhere completely different and then maybe look at the technical aspect of pulling away quicker, because there could be a difficulty with that, simply getting the car to move at a quicker speed. So I might go and work on that element separate, as a separate entity almost, and then bring it back in once they started to get the confidence as an overall thing.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think because it is that the skill is going to provide confidence, which is going to help the decision making. But I think actually we've touched on it is it's that they're making the decision consciously, which is really slow, whereas we make that decision subconsciously and it just boom, the information is all computed and we know yes, that's a gap. That no, that's not a gap. And so that's why that's happening. So realistically, the only way to speed up that decision is experience and analysis as well. So like we're analyzing those decisions, like we talked about earlier, like analyze the good decisions and the ones that don't go so well and work out why. And that's going to speed up that sort of kind of building those neural pathways. But in general, it needs that experience on the road. Like an example I was used to this, and Diana uses it quite a lot as well. It is. Think of the first time you make a recipe, like make a meal that's like from a recipe. It takes you ages because you're having to read it and then you're measuring it out and you're not sure, like the chopping might be a bit slow or whatever. And over time, if you make that recipe 100 times, it would be so much easier, smoother, and better the 100th time because you just wouldn't be thinking about it. You've done it like loads and loads of times. And I think that's what we've got to remember is. We see roundabouts like the 100th recipe. They see roundabouts like it's the first time they've ever made that recipe.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. The other one I analogy I sometimes use is pouring water out of a jug or a kettle. So if you think about that seems such a simple task. To like lift a kettle up and pour it into a thing, but it's genuinely quite a lot going on in that process. And I tell you, if you want to find out how much is going on in that process, ask a 2-year-old to do it and watch it go everywhere. And that's because they've not done it before. They don't have all of that experience, so they don't get the. As the water starts to come out, that you change the angle to make it come out slower. They don't get that as it goes closer to the top of the cup, that you slow down the flow of water. They don't necessarily understand that the weight of the jug is going to change because the water's coming out of it. And we don't think about any of that when we're pouring a jug of water,
Yeah, this
but
is
we've
what's happening.
experienced it so much that it just happens naturally. And again, this is what learners are like when they get in the car. They don't have any of that experience. So it is all just new and they're having to play with it.
It's so true. It's funny what you're saying about the cooking analogy, because I did this with one of my pupils. She was struggling with, I can't even remember what she struggled with quite a lot of things for a while. But I asked her, what are you good at? What things in life do you do that you think, actually, I'm pretty good at that? And she said, cooking. And we talked about her cooking ability and how she did it and how it was a bit bish bash bosh. We talked about how driving is not, you're not going to be bish bash bosh with your driving. It's like when you start out, like you just said, you start somewhere. There's a starting point for everybody. It's understanding that not everybody is going to be good at something straight off the bat, but we're all good at something in our lives, and you can take an understanding that it's possible to be good at something else, but it's the process, isn't it? It becomes more automated.
Yeah, and that will just take different amounts of times
Yeah.
for different people. So, did you have anything else you wanted to
Oh,
add?
just one real,
Yeah, go
just
for it.
one, but maybe significant. And I'll ask you this too. What advice would I give to my beginner self? If you were PDI Phil, what advice would you
Absolutely.
give to PDI Phil?
So I want to say things like coaching and stuff like that, but realistically back then that wasn't a thing. So I'm not going to go for that. I'm going to go for kind of boring answer actually. I would suggest to beginner Phil to sort out to learn more about business and accounting, because have I stole yours?
Oh, yeah, go
No.
ahead.
Because I spent the first, I don't know, probably 10 years or so being a driving instructor, getting better at being a driving instructor. And I'm grateful for that because I think I've got all that behind me and under my belt. And I'm still learning, obviously, but it has given me great experiences. But I wish I'd done what I've done now from a business perspective earlier. And that has only come from listening to audiobooks and reading books and going on courses that aren't driving instructor related to get that sort of business ideas in my head. And I still need to be better at like accounting and the admin-y side of it, but I don't think that'll ever happen. So
I do. I took that resonates with me. I've put learn more about business, but I'm at a different stage in my life to you. And I think how was I if I was younger, 100%. But for me now, I'm more focused on I guess the, I don't know the ambit. It's not. I'm not like I don't feel like ambition. I don't feel like I wanna. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I'm really enjoying what I'm doing with you guys. I'm enjoying the opportunities that are coming my way. But yeah, at the beginning, it would have been helpful to have known more about business for sure. The other thing, a bit of advice I would give to myself is to be myself, and that I am, do me, like be me, and that I'm all right. You know, I know it's a bit cliche. I'm enough, darling. Yeah, because I think we're always a lot of us. You know, we're always comparing, aren't we? They're better than me. I'll never be any good. They're better than me. But we've all got unique qualities. Somebody's going to choose somebody else over me. Somebody's going to choose me over somebody else. We all bring something different to the job, and I just think we've all got our unique qualities, and it's just recognizing what those qualities are, and not beating ourselves up when we maybe are a bit different or we're a bit. I think I'm a bit unconventional to be honest, but that's kind of worked for me.
that's great. I think actually it's the two things kind of link, but like being better in business and also understanding that you are enough, because actually one of the only things we have actually as driving instructors to sell is us. And so being unique, being not being unique on purpose, but just being you exactly how you are, end up being good in business because you sell yourself and then you start getting the pupils that you want because they come to you because they're drawn towards your style or your the things you put maybe out on social media and they're like, oh, I like that, I resonate with that, I want to learn with that person. So yeah, absolutely be yourself.
And it's also being okay that you're not going to be all things to all people, and that's okay too. You know, sometimes we can take it personally if somebody disappears, but there's going to be the odd time where, for whatever reason, you're not going to be a perfect fit. You know, and that's just how it is.
I do get that though, because when I hear people sometimes have moaned about me that I don't really know, but just because maybe I've got a driving school that's bigger than theirs or whatever, and they'll be slagging me off behind my back, and I'm just going, why? I'm really nice. Just come and have a chat. It'll be fine. And yeah,
You find it doesn't bother you nowadays, though. Did it used to bother you, or you like comfortable in your
It
skin
definitely
now?
doesn't bother me. I don't know if it used to, I can't remember if it used to. I probably did. It doesn't bother me. Again, I think it goes back to empathy, actually. In those scenarios, I don't, I when somebody is like that, I tend to go, oh, but why?
Yeah.
And I want to kind of go, what's happened in their situation that's made them want to do that? So and
Yeah, sorry. I just love all that stuff. Yeah.
yeah, and I think it's like getting them to, and it's yeah, because it's like it's normally, I would say, in a situation like that, that they're maybe not feeling great about what they're doing, so they want to attack somebody else, and for whatever reason, it could just be they've had a really bad day, and a question came up and somebody shouted it, at you or whatever, and it's not necessarily, it's hardly ever about you.
Oh, do you know what, Phil? I think you're exactly right. And I think we can, it's so useful to have that reminder, you know, in all sorts of aspects, really, of life and also out on the road when people do crazy stuff. You know, all our relationships with the people around us. And it, like you said, people, they project. And it is about them and what they're going through on any particular day. And yeah, it can be useful just to remember that, I think, because it can be hurtful, but it's useful to remember. There's a lady called Mel Robbins, and she wrote something called the Let Them Theory, which is great. I love it. And it's just basically thinking, just let them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I like. I like that. So simple. She got a whole book out of that, didn't
Yeah. So she's got loads of podcasts. The Let Them Theory, Mel Robbins. It's an American lady. It's good. Yeah, I find it quite interesting.
I will ask you for both of those books in a minute, and I'll put them in the show notes. So I think we'll wrap it up there because we've been chatting for an hour, which is
Yeah,
great. And yeah, I think thanks everyone for listening. Go sign up to our workshop or our membership, or come and join support where San is one of our mentors. And actually, we're talking about business support is one of the things we're really going to focus on is making sure people do have that business training, because we don't want to be left in that situation that we were left in. So yeah, thank you everyone, and thank you Sam for joining me.
Thanks a lot, Bill. It'll be good to chat to you. Nice to see you.
Inspire Instructor Training Podcast, where the learning never stops.